Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Built Bar. In fact, it was my breakfast today before I did this podcast. Need a little energy, need a quick snack. Built Bar is perfect with its combination of high protein, low sugar, and the best part is with promo code Locked On, you can get $10 off your first box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. It's crossover week on the Locked On Podcast Network. It kind of snuck up on me. I had some plans to do some more player profiles and scouting reports on the 49ers draft picks this week. We're going to have to push that back. And look, we have plenty of time. So Brandon Ayuk will get back into that scouting report Monday. But this week, we're going to chat with some of the hosts that are on the schedule this season. And, you know, it's really beneficial. I love doing this because you get a really good idea about, you know, we've been talking so much about the 49ers and had this tunnel vision about the 49ers, what their team looks like right now, but it's fun to pull that scope back and look at the rest of the league. So today's program, Michael DeBate, who is the host of Locked On Patriots, will be my guest. We're going to check in with Kyle Krabs and Locked On Dolphins later in the week, along with John Butchko and Locked On Jets, Joe Marino, and Locked On Bills. It's the 49ers have the AFC East on their schedule this season, but today, Patriots 49ers crossover. Let's get into it with Michael DeBate.
Patriots fans and San Francisco 49ers fans, as we said to open today's show, there will be a distinct West Coast presence on both of our schedules in 2020 and an East Coast presence, obviously, for our fans over in the West. And to begin our divisional crossover week here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we begin with two teams that have sort of a synergy between their two fan bases and a familiarity with some of the personnel. Here joining our discussion today for Locked On Patriots, I am Mike DeBate. For Locked On Niners, my colleague Brian Peacock joins us. Brian, it is a pleasure to share the microphone with you today on this crossover episode of the Locked On Podcast Network for the NFL Channel.
Oh, Michael, the pleasure's all on this side of the table. Yeah, it's always great to talk to the other fine hosts across the network, and it kind of snuck up on me, man. I was in full post-draft mode, and I was like, oh, man, we got to check in with some other teams around the league, and it's going to be a fun schedule, I think, for the 49ers this year, taking on some teams in the AFC East and a very new-look Patriots squad.
Absolutely, and I share your curiosity, and I share your anticipation, and it is pretty good to be able to talk about a forward-looking schedule, and I think we both agree that football returns to the field sooner rather than later, but whenever they do return to the gridiron, these two teams are scheduled to lock horns in 2020, and I think it's still going to be an amazing matchup, albeit maybe a different matchup than people thought when they first saw this matchup on the schedule for the 2020 season. And you know what, Brian, let's get right into that. From a Patriots perspective, I often speak about synergy when it comes to these fan bases and these organizations. And outside of New England, synergy with other fan bases usually means a steeped in hatred. But there is an affinity for your hometown team in San Francisco here in New England, because your quarterback is still very much a fan favorite here in New England. And that is Jimmy GQ himself, my paisan, Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy had a pretty good season in 2019, to say the least. But some continue to support the theory that Jimmy might have been more of a passenger than a conductor of the offense last season. In fact, it led to rumors that they were considering pursuing Tom Brady, which I thought was a little odd, seeing that Jimmy did help lead them to a Super Bowl berth, but the lore of the hometown boy, I think, was pretty prominent when it came to those rumors. Although Jimmy is still largely loved in New England, Brian, what does Niners Nation think of him moving forward as their main man in 2020, and have they fully embraced him?
Yeah, I think all you need to know about how they feel about Garoppolo internally is that they said no to Tom Brady, who is the second best quarterback of all time to Joe Montana, right? So I know there are some folks out there listening on your show.
My jury might still be out on that one.
No,
you know what? That to me is the most realistic argument that that I can think of when it comes to the GOAT argument, and the only one that I think holds any type of merit. But please continue, my friend. I don't mean to steal your thought.
No, and I think it's clear at one point in time, Joe had the rings. It's Tom Brady now. So Tom Brady's, I think, the GOAT, and it might be hard for some 49ers fans to hear it, but yeah. And the fact that the 49ers said no to that, and they said, you know what? We like our younger quarterback who in a lot of ways, had a better season in 2019. In his first season as a full-time starter, led his team to the Super Bowl. How are you going to walk away from that for a short-term answer in Tom Brady, even if he, and that's if he would still even be better in 2020, which is, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. So I think there's going to be a big step forward for Jimmy Garoppolo. Last year, coming off an ACL, most quarterbacks coming off an ACL their first season don't show out very good. And then Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks notoriously take a while. And Matt Ryan's the one everyone points to. His second full season with Kyle Shanahan, he had that MVP Super Bowl type run that I don't know if you're going to see that type of a jump between Garoppolo in his first year as a starter to his second year full-time as a starter, because he did have some time previously with Kyle Shanahan, even though it wasn't a full, you know, preseason and regular season until 2019. But, I mean, third down stats, some really important stats that I think are the ones that drive the Garoppolo argument, why some people might be sleeping on him, and a lot of people maybe didn't watch how well he played against teams like the Saints during the regular season, and some really great performances he had. Might have seen some playoff matchups against the Vikings and the Packers where the Niners were just blowing those teams out, running all over them, and Garoppolo didn't need to throw the ball, you know, more than eight times, which is kind of crazy. So people thought, oh, well, they don't trust him. They don't like him. He's not very good because they ran the ball so much. It was like, no, that's how much the 49ers dominated those football games, and they were going to light it up with the passing game if they needed to against the Vikings. That's how that game started. But when you can win on the ground so easily, why would you go to anything else? And, you know, he did miss a throw in the Super Bowl, even though he was very good for most of that game, which is pretty much, you know, par for the entire team. You know, the defense was great for most of that game, and Garoppolo was great for most of that game, and the line was great for most of that game. But just because they lost the Super Bowl doesn't mean that sours anything that the 49ers thought about Garoppolo when they traded for him from New England or what he did last year. And I think the expectations are that he's going to be even better in 2020. And maybe if he's not, and maybe if he takes a step back next year at this time, those conversations will get a little bit more difficult. But right now, it's a no-brainer. Garoppolo's the guy. And it's the best argument for how good Garoppolo is what was the 49ers record? What did that team look like since 2017 when he showed up at the trade deadline? They could not win a football game. He walks in there with a couple of weeks to prepare, and they win five games. They literally could not win. They were the worst team in the NFL, and they win five games down the stretch. Comes out in 2018, they have all the expectations. Very similar roster with the addition of Nick Bosa and Dee Ford to the 2019 team. And again, he gets hurt, tears his ACL. They're terrible again. They win five games. And then they're the number two pick in the draft. And then they come back in 2019. He's healthy, plays a full season, and they go to the Super Bowl. So that's the difference Jimmy Garoppolo makes to the 49ers offense versus a replacement level quarterback. And it just, you can't really screw with anything like that. So the 49ers are all in on Jimmy Garoppolo, and they should be because he's earned it. And I know there's a lot of Patriots fans out there that were maybe hoping something could go down where the Niners pick up Brady and then the Patriots maybe end up with Jimmy Garoppolo again. I don't know how real that would have been from Bill Belichick's side. He seems like the type of, you know, pragmatic dude where it's like, okay, I traded away Jimmy. He's done. He's dead to me now. We're going to move on with our young quarterback in Jared Stidham that we drafted last year.
I'm so glad that you mentioned a few of those. First of all, your praise of Jimmy Garoppolo is earning you a lot of fans in New England. I can guarantee you that, my friend. It warms our hearts here to hear good things about Jimmy because, look, I had the pleasure and the good fortune of being able to cover him for a couple of years while he was here before he was traded away to San Francisco. Class act up and down, and one of the hardest workers I've ever seen in practice. Now, were there some mistakes that he made in practice? Yes, there were. I know he gets a knock for maybe not being the complete practice player that a lot of other quarterbacks had been, but Jimmy worked as hard, if not harder, than anyone on the field. And that's the reason why he's experiencing such great success in San Francisco, albeit he's in a great situation. Kyle Shanahan, obviously, he's got a great running game around him, pretty stout offensive line, and great players at the offensive skill position. But Jimmy does help drive that bus. He makes things go. And I'm glad to hear that in a lot of respects. I think what you've said about Bill Belichick is very accurate as well. I don't believe there were a whole lot of truth to the rumors, although I'll be very honest. When I first heard that, I said, what more of a Belichickian move would it be than to have to trade a guy that you really felt confident in, have your star, your franchise quarterback, the guy that you won six rings with, depart, go to the team you traded his backup to, and then pull his backup back in and continue the dynasty. That would have been the ultimate Belichickian move. But again, I don't think a whole lot of realism when it comes to that, my friend. So all in all, I do agree with you when it comes to Jimmy, and I think he's in a great situation. And I think the Niners are going to be a very formidable team. And I still think, and I know it's going to anger some Patriots fans when I say this, but I still think the San Francisco 49ers are the team to beat in the NFC. And I believe that the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC is still going to go through San Francisco, and it's still going to go through that Niners team. And speaking of that Niners team, Brian, we here in New England know a thing or two about unpopular decisions when it comes to the NFL draft. The first draft choice for the Patriots this year, Kyle Duggar, largely panned. Even though most of us that know the team well realize that his selection was actually quite smart.
Yeah, I love that pick. I love Kyle Duggar. You know, it's a little higher than maybe he was mocked in some places, but raw tools, the way he plays, love watching him play, and he showed he could hang at the Senior Bowl, which is really important for a small school guy that dominated on his level, that he can play with some of those big-time recruits and big-time athletes coming out of Power 5 colleges. We've got to talk more about these drafts, the 49ers class, the Patriots class, and how they might shape up and help their teams in 2020. This episode is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Built Bars are tasty and Built Bars are healthy. If you're looking for that energy, you need a snack. This is ideal, the ideal snack for me, because it tastes good, but it's not heavy. It's not going to get stuck in your teeth. You can power one down and go do whatever you need to do. If it's work, if it's a workout, high in protein, low in sugar. That I can't stress this enough. Low in sugar. It's not dessert. It's actually good for you. But it tastes so good. It's like, how is there only 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar in this thing? This morning, trying to get some podcasts going, didn't have breakfast. So I went with the Mint Brownie Delight, which was fantastic. Only 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. So low calorie, low sugar, low carb, but high in protein, high in fiber, exactly what you need in a snack. And the best part is if you go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, that's one word, LOCKEDON, for $10 off, and build your own box at BuiltBar.com.
I see a lot of similarities in the Niners draft this year, particularly their first pick in Javon Kinlaw. And they brought him in hopes of filling the shoes left behind by DeForest Buckner. Now, obviously, injury is a concern with Kinlaw, but some feel that he might have been taken too high. I happen to think this pick may pay dividends for them based on my research of Kinlaw. But you know the Niners better than anyone. What was your reaction to the Kinlaw pick? And specifically, what is your reaction to the Niners draft overall, as they help this core of veterans that they have on this team?
Yeah, overall, you can't be anything but very pleased and excited about the 49ers draft class when you consider that they moved a fifth and a future third to replace Joe Staley and get Trent Williams in there and replace an all-pro with an all-pro. Just a fantastic move. Plugged really the two biggest holes on the team. Right guard was somewhat plugged by the fact that they got themselves a left tackle too. So, you know, it was right guard, wide receiver, and defensive tackle were the only three positions that you could even envision a rookie would be able to come in and play for the 49ers in 2020 early. And we'll see if, you know, wide receiver is a tough position to come in and play week one in the NFL. So we'll see where Brandon Ayuk was at. But obviously, he's a complete Shanahan type. I had tweeted out in February that there's three wide receivers that I would be willing to bet Shanahan had a gold star next to on the board. And Brandon Ayuk was one of those, just a perfect fit, catch and run guy, run after catch. And they're calling San Francisco Yak City now with the yards after catch that already, I mean, you know, it's hard as heck to tackle George Kittle and Debo Samuel. And then you add maybe one of the best yards after catch, if not the best yards after catch wide receiver in this draft in Brandon Ayuk. So fantastic fit there. He's a good athlete. We'll see how early he can get on the field and contribute to the 49ers. There's a lot of wide receivers in that room, and the 49ers are going to have a nice little competition in training camp whenever this season gets rolling to see who wins that job. It might be a little bit more difficult in this season for rookies to jump in at some tougher positions like wide receiver early in their careers, but we'll see how that goes. And then the Kinlaw pick is obvious because, you know, the length, the power, being able to replace one of the best players, if not the best player on the defensive side of the ball for the last 4 years in DeForest Buckner with a guy who has the best chance to be that sort of an impact player inside. And both Ayuk and Kinlaw are high upside players. If I had to quibble with it, I might have gone a different direction and go with one of those top wide receivers at 14, just because positional value at defensive tackle isn't something I would be as worried about, and I'd be trying to put resources more in defensive ends than defensive tackles. But again, with what they were given, what they had on the current roster, it's hard not to just say, I mean, before the draft, if you said, hey, the 49ers are going to end up with Kinlaw, Brandon Ayuk, and Trent Williams, it would be like done. Like, I don't even care if they have any day three picks left. Like, that's a home run draft. And then they've got some day three guys that might be able to come in and compete for some spots. Colton McKivitz at tackle or guard. Charlie Warner is a block first tight end that has a role as a backup and special teamer early in his career, so he should make the team. And then a guy that has the most difficult challenge in making the team because of that deep wide receiver group I talked about was Juwan Jennings, who's a bigger slot receiver, who is Jalen Hurd insurance, who missed all of his rookie year with an injury. That was a seventh round pick, so he's got a long road in front of him, maybe more of a practice squad situation for Juwan Jennings. But that's the 49ers draft, and it was a home run. I mean, John Lynch is competitive. You saw how hard they were working. They didn't have any picks on day two of the draft, and he lined up three trades on day three. So he's always competing, always trying to make his roster better, and I think the 49ers plugged as many holes in, are as good coming out of the draft in 2020 as you could have hoped.
Excellent, excellent insight. And I'm glad that you brought up guys like Kinlaw and the deep parts of the draft, especially Ayuk, who really, I have always liked this kid all of last year. The yards after the catch to me always seemed to be one of his best attributes and something that I thought would have really endeared him to New England. I did mock him to New England on several occasions. So when the 49ers use that type of capital to select him, I didn't necessarily bat an eyelash. I know a lot of people did, but I happen to like that pick, and I think it's going to pay off dividends for them in the long run. So we shall see, but I'm glad that you provided that type of insight for Patriots fans when it comes to the 2020 NFL draft and what this means for the Niners' current roster. But it wouldn't be a true crossover unless we talked a little bit about some of the Patriots additions and what it means for their 2020 roster.
Michael, by the way, when it comes to the 49ers draft, and it's sort of tied into the Patriots, and there's lots of interesting ties with the Niners and Patriots, which is kind of fun when we're doing a crossover like this, and I can't wait to see these two teams play in Foxborough. But something we heard from Tony Pauline, who's an NFL draft insider, I know that one of the big things the 49ers leaned on here with the selection of Brandon Ayuk was the relationship with Herm Edwards, and they really trust him. And there are some whispers that the 49ers don't trust Nick Saban in the same way. They feel like they might have gotten burnt by Saban in the past with the Reuben Foster selection and not getting the accurate depiction of what kind of a guy he was going to be off the field and the trouble that he could potentially cause for the 49ers. And it's interesting because the 49ers weren't that high on Jerry Jeudy, and there was talk that the 49ers just don't want to go that way. In this day and age, where we're at with this draft, I think it's probably smart for teams to lean on people and coaches and college, you know, sources that they trust to get the right background on a player when they're not able to do their own background this year. So I think that's a big part of it with Herm Edwards and trusting him and the information they were able to get about Brandon Ayuk. But what's interesting about what I heard from Tony Pauline is that last year, the 49ers similarly had a pretty high grade on N'Keal Harry and might have drafted N'Keal Harry over Deebo Samuel if they had a shot last year. So that's an interesting nugget that I ran across that I thought I'd drop your way. I don't know if you've heard anything like that, but how different would things look if N'Keal Harry ended up in San Francisco and Deebo Samuel was in New England?
Well, it could have looked a lot different. I mean, obviously, Samuel had health on his side and was able to be a huge contributor to the 49ers offense last year. And Deebo was actually another guy that I had looked at as a very good potential fit in the Patriots offense, because we knew last year that the Patriots were likely looking wide receiver early on. And a lot of the rumors surrounding that surrounded a guy like Deebo Samuel. And he was someone that I thought could be a good fit. Again, yards after the catch, speed, ability to run routes, his ability to find the ball, the open spot, and get into that open spot and have the opportunity to receive passes from Tom Brady, obviously could have been a huge thing for Deebo. I really like the addition of N'Keal Harry. If N'Keal Harry ended up in San Francisco, obviously, I mean, you don't know what was going to happen with his injury history. I mean, there's always a chance that he may not have seen the field. And the Niners offense may have lost a big part of their production last year. But ultimately, I really do like the way N'Keal goes about his business. His ability to go up and make contested catches makes him the perfect fit in Foxborough for the type of wide receiver they were hoping to get last year. Don't forget, they had just lost Rob Gronkowski, and that type of a loss, when it comes to your offensive production, will stay with a team. And we saw the Patriots struggle as a result of that last year. To me, one of the biggest reasons why the Patriots offense struggled so badly is not necessarily because of Tom Brady, you know, losing a step or Tom Brady falling off a cliff, folks, which I think you'll see in Tampa this year is not the case. But it was because they never did an adequate job of replacing the production that Rob Gronkowski gave. N'Keal Harry obviously is a wide receiver. He's not a tight end, folks. He was not going to be the blocker or even the formidable strength character that Rob Gronkowski was. But what Rob did better than anyone on the team was go up and make contested catches. N'Keal Harry has that availability and that capability. So I think you're going to see a lot of that this year in New England. I think he could have added another dimension to San Francisco last year. But again, it's hard to argue with the type of fit that Deebo went in and made. His type of game really suited himself well for the style of play that the 49ers put last year, being able to run with the ball out of the backfield, being able to extend plays, and just that unpredictability that he provided, I think was a tailor-made fit for San Francisco. So I do see what they saw, what the Patriots saw in him because of that contested catchability. But I think in the long run, I think San Francisco is going to be glad that they went with Deebo. And I think that the Patriots are going to be glad that they went with Harry, because I expect big things out of him in 2020. In just a moment, folks, my colleague Brian Peacock and I will talk about what the Patriots additions might mean for this potential matchup as the Niners and the Patriots prepare to do battle this season in Foxborough when this crossover episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast and the Locked On Niners podcast continues.
And this ties in really well with the 2020 Patriots draft as well, because I think both teams rely on relationships, and we've seen it with the 49ers time and time again, whether it's bringing in coaches or veterans that have been coached by the current coaching staff before, or how they draft players. And Deebo Samuel was with the 49ers at the Senior Bowl last year, and there's a number of Senior Bowl guys on the Patriots roster this year following the draft. And I know that Bill Belichick's a big fan of Nick Saban, and there's always some closeness there, and a lot of Alabama players find their way over to the New England Patriots. But let's talk about that Patriots draft. And it's interesting because one of the questions I was going to have for you here, and we can tie this in as well, was I'm wondering who is going to be selling all the jerseys right now in New England, because it's almost become this no-name squad, and there's obviously still some recognizable players and recognizable talent there on the New England Patriots, but it seems, you know, the bigger names are falling off and they're not replacing them with new bigger names. So I'm wondering what jersey numbers we're going to see out there that are the new hottest sellers for the Patriots. But I really love Kyle Duggar, the safety out of Lenoir Rhyne, Senior Bowl guy. He has so much speed and raw ability. I actually compared him to 49ers safety Jaquaski Tartt, who was also a surprise second-round pick for the 49ers a few years back. And he was my number two. Yeah, he was my number two safety on the board, so I love what they did with him. A perfect fit with a stand-up rusher in Josh Uche, was also at the Senior Bowl out of Michigan. Anfernee Jennings, another pass-rushing outside linebacker. And then they went back-to-back tight ends in round three, which I thought was interesting. Two players at tight end the 49ers had brought in pre-draft. Those were guys that were frequently in mock drafts for the 49ers. So can you talk about those day one and day two picks? They didn't have a day one pick, but those five day two picks for the Patriots and how they might fit in, if we might see some of those guys play early in New England.
Absolutely. And we'll start with Duggar because he's probably the most polarizing of the day two picks. And look, maybe it wasn't the most popular decision among the New England fan base, but I think it has the potential to pay dividends. I love the blend of speed, length, and size that Duggar is bringing to Foxborough. He can cover a lot of ground in the backfield. He has the tools to match up with tight ends in coverage. And believe it or not, this actually does tie into a game preview that we might be doing down the line here for the Locked On Podcast Network. Patriots had a lot of difficulty covering tight ends, especially prolific tight ends last year. Duggar has the ability to do that. So we might see Kyle Duggar matched up a little bit on George Kittle when these two teams do hook up. So something to keep an eye on there. But Duggar, to me, he's a good tackler. He's capable of making key stops in key situations. Plus, he's a playmaker. He intercepted 10 passes, returned 6 punts for touchdowns at Lenoir Rhyne. I know it's a Division II school, folks, but look at the tape on this kid. He was a man among men and really stood head and shoulders above his competition. And you got Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung each turning 33 in August. They're not getting any younger at that position. They need a type of safety that's going to be able to come in, learn from two of the best that have ever put on a Patriots uniform, and be able to build on that. And I think Duggar is the type of player that's willing to learn, willing to adapt, but has the capabilities and the physical opportunity to be able to come in and play in a lot of those guys' image. So I really liked the pick. I know some people are still a little squeamish on it, feeling they went too high for him, but this is Bill Belichick's style. He targets a player. If he likes a player and he feels he's getting adequate value for the player drafting him at that position, he's going to go for it and he's not going to think twice about it. Round two, as far as the selection of Joshua Uche, to me, this was one of the sleeper moves that the Patriots made in the draft. I think he's one of the most underrated pass rushers in the 2020 NFL draft. Undersized edge defender. He's got long arms. I think he's got the skill set to make an immediate impact rushing the passer. Good combination of initial quickness, bend, closing speed. This kid can do it all. I spoke to one of our colleagues earlier this month, Isaiah Hull, who hosts Locked On Wolverines, and he couldn't say enough to praise Joshua Uche. To me, I think he fits right in with this Patriots defensive mindset. I love the fact that with Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins going now, Uche fits that classic profile. He's well-coached, disciplined, and I think he's going to be a very good outside rusher and could even be a pretty good interior blitzer as well. And I love the fact that they may be pairing him a little bit with Chase Winovich, former teammate of his in Michigan. There's definitely a little bit of a Michigan flavor in the Patriots, defensive front this year. Anfernee Jennings, again, another pick that I think really works wonders for them, could end up being, very good. Obviously, the knee injury in 2018 that did lessen his athleticism, but all in all, I think he's a strong defender. He plays his assignments well. That's something that should earn him a lot of praise in Bill Belichick's handbook. So I look for Jennings to come in and to make an impact as well. Maybe not as early as Uche or Duggar, but I think Jennings has the ability to make this team. And of course, you mentioned the tight ends. Asiasi, a lot of people were surprised that they didn't go Adam Trautman in this case. I was one of them, but, it's hard to argue with his value. Asiasi brings a good blend of size, speed, length. He's a pretty athletic guy. And then Dalton Keene is a guy that a lot of people roll their eyes on. But when you look at the fact that James Devlin has now been retired, this pick makes a lot of sense because he can play that type of an H-back role. He did it a lot at Virginia Tech. I think you may see him play some of that, maybe giving a guy like, Danny Vitale, who they just signed, a little bit of a hand at the fullback position. So I think there's a good opportunity to utilize all of these guys, and I think they can all make an impact on the team this year.
Looking at the outlook for 2020 in the short term for the Patriots, a lot of folks I'm seeing out there are saying, you know what, this is Bill. Classic Bill, he's going to play chess. They're going to lose a bunch of games, draft Trevor Lawrence, number one overall this year. Then he's going to be back to it, another 15-year dynastic run for the Patriots. And I'm like, yeah, no way. No way in heck Bill Belichick coach team is going to be bad enough to earn the first pick in the draft. Maybe they'll be within range to make a trade or something if that happens. But I bet this is an 8-win team. even if you don't recognize all the names on the back of the jerseys, but really it all comes down to the quarterback, right? Jarrett Stidham. So what have you seen in the short time Stidham's been around that might make you think, okay, maybe this is the guy for Bill Belichick long term?
Accuracy, pinpoint control, and maturity, I think, is something that really, to me, has endeared me to Jarrett Stidham. I had the opportunity to watch him in practice last year, had a great preseason. He's capable of stepping up and making the throws, folks, and he can put it on a receiver or a tight end almost to the dime. I mean, this kid does have great control. You would like to see better decision-making in the initial point of contact. That, to me, is where Jarrett is going to have to trial by fire in a lot of situations. I would probably have said in an ideal world he was maybe a year away from making that jump, maybe learning a little bit more under Tom Brady, who was arguably the best to ever do it at his position, being able to get rid of the football in a short amount of time, make things accurate, or have the wherewithal to be able to take the sack when he knows it's beneficial for his team. Jarrett's not quite at that level yet. So if the Patriots struggle at the quarterback position, that's where it's going to be. But as far as being able to make the throws, as far as having the physical capabilities of extending plays with his legs, and also being able to step up and make plays in the pocket, Jarrett's ready for it. And the Patriots saw this. One of the big reasons why they chose not to draft the signal caller in 2020, and they shied away from the trade options and even the free agent options, that were available to them. The Patriots liked what they saw in Jarrett Stidham. And it's that maturity, it's that ability to play within the Patriots system and be willing to learn and adapt as Tom Brady did so many years ago. Am I saying that Jarrett is going to be equal to what Brady did up here? There's no way I'm saying that. No, I mean, that's an unfair expectation to put on anybody. And let's face it, there's one Tom Brady. There always will be. Right. But at the same time, I think Jarrett's capable of being able to make plays when he needs to, and I think he's going to turn some heads doing it this year.
Fascinating team to follow in the 2020 season is the New England Patriots. I can't wait to see how the 49ers and Patriots stack up later this season. And Mike, I guess we'll have to talk again then. We'll get a little bit more into the X's and O's. We'll know a little bit more about how these teams are taking shape when the 49ers meet the Patriots in 2020. I'm looking forward to chatting again about these two teams.
I am as well, Brian. It's always a pleasure to join you on the microphone here to do our crossovers. Hopefully, we've given each fan base a little bit of something to take away about the other. And again, I look forward to doing these down the line when the two teams finally do hook it up in Gillette, in Foxborough. Mi casa es su casa this time, my friend, and we'll definitely enjoy that discussion because there's a lot to like about these two teams, and again, a lot of synergy between these two fan bases. So this is one circled on my calendar for a good reason. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Tell your friends, 49ers fans, that if they're a Patriots fan, their team is covered daily by Michael DeBate at Locked On Patriots. You can find him on Twitter at MDebateFPC. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Michael, a pleasure, and we'll talk to you in the fall.
Pleasure was all mine, my friend. Stay safe, stay well, and look forward to talking to you in the fall.